crooked grin that Mesbaris could only take as a thinly veiled threat. There was something here, Quentho's look clearly told Mesbaris, that could embarrass the second matron of Menzo Berenzon and her family. "Are we agreed, Matron Mesbaris?" the matron mother repeated. "I will pray," was all that Matron Mesbaris would concede at that point. "Yes, do," said the matron mother. "All of you. I will accept your accolades when Lady Lolf has informed you that I am performing her will." With that, she clapped her hands sharply, bringing the meeting of the ruling council to an abrupt end. The six non-Bayenri matrons hustled from the room, whispering in small groups regarding the startling turn of events. Quenthal noted that Jindia Malarn only remained away from Mesbaris's side until they reached the door. Quenthal knew those two would confer at length about this. Now they understood why Brigandierth patrolled the corridors of the former House Doerden. Now they would complain, but they would take it no farther than that. Not at present, at least, with the darkening imminent, as well as the war it portended. And not until Matron Mesbaris came to fully understand the implications of the unexpected return of Tosin Armgo, her son. House Barrison del Armgo was not brimming with allies, after all, and a major embarrassment could bring the rest of the city storming their gates.
"It played as you anticipated?" Gromph asked the matron mother when she went to him in his room at House Bayenri.
"Of course."
"I would have enjoyed witnessing the expression borne by Matron Mesbaris when her long-lost child entered the chamber."
"You revisited Cusor Lauren?"
"I did," Gromph replied,
though he left out any details, particularly his rather startling revelations concerning the surface elf, Dahlia. "Tiago has returned with you?"
"No, but he will be along presently, I am confident, along with Sarabel's or Lauren, who will be his bride."
"Good. He has much to do."
"As weapons master of House Doerden, no doubt," Gromph remarked.
And the matron mother looked at him curiously, then suspiciously, for she had not divulged that little bit of information to him.
"Logic could steer you no other way," the archmage remarked. "Ormond, your seed will supplant Anzarel in the hierarchy of House Bayenri, of course. And I doubt you allowed Tiago those fabulous and ancient items forged by Golthanon, that he might serve as a guard captain or some other meaningless position."
"Well reasoned," the matron mother said, but her expression revealed that she still thought it too fine a guess.
"And the House Doerden wizard?" Gromph asked innocently.
"You tell me."
"Not Gromph, surely," the archmage said. "I find my platter quite filled enough."
Matron Mother Quenthal stared at him, unblinking.
"To Sabarax or Lauren?"
Gromph answered, nodding with clear resignation at the inevitability of the choice. "He of the blessing of law," the matron mother replied.
"You hinted that he would be the archmage of Cusor Lauren," Gromph reminded.
"A necessary tease. I will not afford Matron Xerath any hopes that she can break fully free of us." The matron mother paused there and eyed Gromph slyly. "Does it concern that Tesabarak will return to Menzo Berenzon so soon after finding such glory in the eyes of the Spider Queen?"
"Lolf is a spider," the archmage quipped. "Her eyes can be filled with many such glories, all at the same time."
He wasn't sure, but it didn't seem to Gromph as if his sister was amused.
"I have already told you of my concerns for Tesabarak," Gromph said more seriously. "And those concerns are none." We shall see, said the matron mother as she took her leave. We shall see. Grumph wore a grave expression until he magically shut the door behind his sister. He'd allow her the illusion of an upper hand. He could afford to, for she clearly had not sorted out that Methyl L. Videnvelp was not only imparting memories to her, but was discerning her intent and feeding it back to Grumph. In essence, crafty old Grumph was using the mind flare in the same way Evenel had used Methyl to gain an upper hand in the chamber of the ruling council. Quenthal was sharper than she had been before the interactions with the Illithid, perhaps, and surely far more knowledgeable about the ways of Lolth's world. But thus far, at least, she was no Evenel. Not yet. After the ease with which Quenthal had dominated and manipulated Manolan Fay and Grumph at House Fay Branch in the Festival of the Founding, Grumph Bayenry found himself quite glad of that. Chapter 18. A Slight Taste of Revenge. Hanging in his iron cage, Artemis Entreri didn't know what to make of any of it. Something had happened to Dahlia, obviously. Something awful. Something perpetrated by that horrid mind flayer. She wasn't crying about Ephraim. She wasn't tight with anger or pacing with excessive anxiety and frustration. She wasn't speaking, not even to answer Artemis and Treri's soft calls. She wasn't looking at him or at anything, it seemed. She was just sitting there, uncaged, unguarded. Broken. She had one shackle around her ankle, chained to a metal ball, but it hardly seemed as if her captors needed it.
Dahlia,
he called again as loudly as he dared. He really didn't want to give any of the dark elves moving around the forge any excuse to walk over and beat him some more. Not that they really needed an excuse. Many paused to and from their respective forges to stick him with a small knife or a heated poker, or to toss some hot ash up toward his face just to see him try reflexively and futilely to turn away. The woman made no movement to indicate that she had heard him, or even that she cared to listen in any case. She was broken. Perhaps beyond repair, he realized, and he couldn't deny, as much as he wanted to, that the thought of Dahlia's grim fate gnawed at him. Gnawed at him and tugged at his heartstrings more than he ever could have imagined.